Thank you, Dr. Miller. I certainly appreciate the privilege of being here this evening. I certainly gratefully accept also the honor that will be given to me a little later, the recognition. I appreciate the fact that my wife and one of my daughters could be here. I also certainly appreciate the fact that my young colleague, Pastor Lowe, and his family made the special effort to be present here tonight for my sake. But my primary responsibility this evening is to speak to the young men, and as Dr. Miller said, some not so young, who are now going forth to be pastors. You men have spent a number of years, a lot of work, and a lot of money to prepare yourselves for this. 42 years ago, it was my privilege to be sitting where you're sitting, but in another city, in another state. I remember the occasion so very, very well. On the one hand, there was a tremendous gratitude in my heart to God for having brought me to that point. Also, there was a tremendous excitement about the future. But as I realize today, also some unnecessary concerns about that future that bordered on fear. The responsibilities of being a pastor, which I realized and understood to some degree at the time, but certainly not as fully as I know them today, weighed heavily upon my heart. Like you on that day, I had also, sometime before then, received a call. It seems good to me to tell you how I felt about that call I received at the time, because very likely some of you might feel the same way about the call that has been given you. I was disappointed. I received a call to begin a new congregation in Moline, Illinois. I wanted absolutely nothing to do with that. I didn't know how to go about it. It was not what I had in mind for myself as a pastor. I wanted to go to a going church. But a few years later, I realized how inexcusably arrogant it had been for me to think that I was wiser than the Lord. He knew where I should go. He knew where I could go and serve him, and he knew where I could serve him with great joy and satisfaction. And the point is, be grateful to the Lord for the call that God has given you through the operation of his church. We do often make mistakes, but God never makes mistakes. Another thing for you always to bear in mind is that the Lord has made you someone very special. If my mathematics are anywhere near correct, less than 0.5% of God's people ever have this wonderful privilege of being pastors in God's church in the world. Don't ever forget it. God has made you some people that are very special and very important. For there's nothing more important that you could possibly do in this world than to be pastors in the Lord's church. In the early years of my ministry, it was my privilege to have as a member of Holy Cross a venerable, noble, retired pastor. He would frequently remind me that pastors have a marvelous privilege of devoting themselves with all their time and energy to the service of the church, bringing encouragement and comfort and peace and assurance to people who during the week are out in the world with all the problems and frustrations and dishonesty and uncertainties of earning a living. It is important, and you can be confident that you will also be successful as pastors. However, the success of a pastor has to be counted in a different way than the success of other earthly endeavors. The success of the pastor is that he has the opportunity to proclaim God's truth. And every Sunday morning, you have a built-in audience to do that. You bring to them that gospel that Paul says is God's power that brings salvation to people. You can't convert people. You can't even keep them in the faith. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And whenever you proclaim the word, the Holy Spirit is active. So success is guaranteed. Your task as a pastor embraces many things. You comfort the sorrowing, the sick, and the dying. You assure the conscience-stricken souls that God loves them, that Christ has redeemed them, that they are forgiven. But always your primary work is to proclaim God's precious truth to people. And that involves much more than preaching on Sunday morning. It certainly does involve that. And you need to prepare yourselves always to the best of the ability that God gives you to do that. But equally important it is that you teach the Word of God in Bible classes. Certainly on Sunday morning, but not only on Sunday morning, but positively on Sunday morning. Occasionally, I have the opportunity to worship in some other congregation away from home. And I always make it my business to go to Bible classes. Many, many times I have been tremendously disappointed that I couldn't find a pastor anywhere teaching a Bible class. All things being equal, you are the most knowledgeable people in the congregation about the things God has revealed in His holy book. Furthermore, He has given to you the responsibility to nourish the spiritual life of those people. So don't turn it over to someone else. Through Bible classes is how people learn to know the Word. And not only on Sunday morning, but every day during the week, you can teach Bible classes if you want to. That word has power that enlightens people with God's revelation so that they can begin to understand what you're trying to tell them when you preach to them on Sunday morning. And as you listen to those people in your Bible classes, you will become much more aware of the burdens and the problems and the fears and the disappointments and the frustrations and the doubts that so often haunt them, and so that you can be a better pastor to them. And as you prepare yourselves for these Bible classes each week, you will also remain diligent students of God's holy word. It doesn't make all that much difference where God is sending you, because wherever He's sending you, there are people. And where there are people, you can also teach the Word. Maybe at first, only one or two will come. But if you faithfully continue to teach those who come, more and more will come, because this is a word of power. I know of no other way to overcome the tragic lack of knowledge of the basic truths of the Christian faith that is so prevalent in churches everywhere. You young men have been taught how to preach. Do it always to the best of your ability. But I pray that in this school of the preachers, you've also been taught how vitally important it is to teach the word to people. Things have certainly changed a lot in the years that the Lord has given me this wonderful privilege of being a pastor in His church in the world. I can't begin to tell you how many programs have come and gone, no doubt all designed with good and noble intentions, but at best with only limited positive results. In this pleasure man society in which we live, the attitude of so many people over against the things of God and the scriptures and sin and heaven and hell has deteriorated to an alarming degree. 40 years ago, when I talked to someone about these things and heaven and hell and sin and the scriptures and warned them of their neglect, their normal response was to express their guilt. It doesn't mean that they necessarily always did anything about it, but they did express their guilt. Today, the response is much more apt to be one of indifference, oftentimes ridicule, sometimes even vicious anger. Because they have changed, the world has changed, society has changed, the morals of society are invading our congregations like a terrific army threatening to destroy it. And the result has a side effect, or maybe it's really much more than a side effect. It has a direct effect on what's going on in many congregations. Members of the church want the church to grow. That's right and proper. And they compare their church to what it was some years ago and what it is now, and probably it isn't growing, might even be decreasing. And so they get the notion there must be something wrong with what we're doing. We ought to do something about it. And that makes them very vulnerable to buy into all kinds of programs that guarantee them success, or so they say. And the result is that nothing happens. I don't want to be misunderstood. If we honestly mean it when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come," we certainly are concerned about people coming to faith in Christ and becoming members of God's church in the world. And I'm also convinced that occasionally some sanctified hoopla is important to get people's attention. But we make a mistake if we think this is going to solve our problems. The Lord has not sent you out to be pastors to entertain people. The world doesn't need any more entertainment. Nor is it good stewardship of your time to get on the bandwagon with every new idea that comes along and waste your time and energy trying to put it into practice. God has sent you there to preach the word. Sin and grace, law and gospel, and to administer the sacraments. Nothing else is going to keep people in the church, at least not in the Lord's church. And nothing else will bring the lost multitudes to faith in Christ. Doing this, you will have joys and satisfactions in your work as pastors that you can't even begin to understand today. Joys and satisfactions that come when a lady calls you in the wee hours of the morning whose husband has been very, very ill for a long time to tell you that once again he had to go to the hospital and it appears as though he's dying. And she says to you, "My husband wants to see you and he wants to see you now." So you go. And what he wants is to ask a question. This question: "Pastor, it appears as though I'm dying, but the devil isn't going to get me now, is he?" And so you assure him that the devil isn't going to get him. because Christ has conquered the devil. His resurrection is the proof of that, and he will go with him through the dark valley of the shadow of death and see to it that he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. And a man says to you, thank you, you can go home now. Or the joys and satisfactions then come when a middle-aged lady who has been attending one of your Bible classes, not a member of your church, calls you one day and says, Pastor, I can't come anymore. I have to go to work. But I want to thank you because for the first time in my life, I know how to get to heaven and I know I am going to heaven. Or the joys and satisfactions then come when a conscience-stricken person comes to see you, weeping and shaking, terrified on account of their guilt, sure they're lost. And you can tell them, God loves you. Christ redeemed you. He was holy for you, and his holiness covers you. He took all of those sins you've confessed to the cross, and there endured the hell and the death that those sins deserved, and proved it to you by his resurrection. Go in peace, you're forgiven. Those are only some few of the joys and satisfactions that are yours. And they won't just last for a moment or for a day like the joys of the world, but they will be with you always throughout your years and sustain you and encourage you and support you in the difficult times. And the difficult times also come. Not everyone is going to love you. Not everyone is going to think you're the greatest preacher and teacher and pastor that ever walked upon the earth. Some people aren't going to like you at all. And they'll find all kinds of fault, and they won't hesitate to tell you about him, and won't always tell you in a nice and kind way. When that happens, don't get all worked up. But listen very carefully to what they're saying to you about you and ask yourself, is it true? And if what they're saying to you about you is true, then thank them for telling you. And ask the Lord to help you change it. And if none of it is true, then thank the Lord that it isn't true. And then don't make an issue of it. Make it a point not to dwell on the negatives. There will be things wrong in the church because the people who belong to that congregation are by nature sinners just as you are, so there are going to be things that aren't right. Don't get too upset by those things. Instead, look at the positive side of your ministry, and the great positive is that the Lord is sending you there and has sent you there to proclaim his word and administer the sacraments, and has accompanied that with the promise that it never returns void, and his promises are never broken. So it is commencement day for you today. You are starting something new, the greatest work in the world, pastors in the Lord's church. Wherever the Lord is sending you, and regardless of how you may be feeling about it this evening, go with joy and gratitude to God, with the full assurance and confidence that you will not fail, for God is sending you, and Christ says, I am with you always. Be faithful to him. And then one day, when by the grace of God you attain the years that God has graciously given to me, you will no doubt often say to him, as I say to him every day, thank you, Lord, for granting me this wonderful privilege of being a pastor. Thank you for listening.